God is good
all the time.
All the time. Amen to that. Now we asked you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle, disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Let's bow our heads in word of prayer. Brother Nathan Davis, you lead us in word of prayer, please. You may be seated. But always strive to do what is good. Now, you don't have to raise your hand on this morning, but how many perfect people do we have here inside of the church today? How many perfect, Karen Davis, how many perfect people do we have inside of the church? It's hard to find a perfect person, right? There's only been one, actually, that walked on the face of this earth. But how many of you know have known people that think they are perfect? That think they are perfect, not in the eyes of God, but in their eyes of whom? Themselves. They think they have done no wrong, that they live a life that's perfect, and everybody should mold and shape their life after them. Now, don't raise your hands on this because this could be really, really embarrassing. But I'm sure there was quite a few folks here inside of this church that went from kindergarten through high school through college that always made A's. Bless your heart. I love all of you all. I can't raise my hand on that one. Some of the rest of us, you know, maybe we were in that B range, right? That was good. He still passed some classes pretty good, but just wasn't perfect, right? Didn't have a 100 average or an A-plus average. Well, some of us was in that B range, and then some of us, praise God, we were right there in the middle, right? In that C range. You were just glad. You went to school, you studied as hard as you could, and you made those C's, and you come home, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. Then some of us, every once in a while, notice I say some of us, because that includes your preacher, sometimes we got that other letter, that D, right? One mark away from that other big one that you didn't want to get, right? That F that you received. At my house, they don't do this anymore. I'm so sorry, kids. I've noticed something with my grandkids, and some of the rest of you know this as well. Parents and other family members now can check kids' grades all the time, every day. Can you imagine that? And the rest of you, can you imagine that growing up? I would have been grounded all the time, amen? I would have been grounded all the time. I never got to go anywhere. So every day now, the kids can, mom and dad can see the grades. They even send things when you're not being good at school. Oh, boy. That would have been bad, wouldn't it? I probably wouldn't have been able to sit down all through school. I've been going home every night, getting a whipping, and going back to school for what I just did at school. Well, in the old days, the way you got your report card, some of you remember this, it came in the mail. You believe that? It came in the mail. And the teachers would usually give you a day or two heads up. We're going to be sending out your report cards in the next couple of days. And I'd always go home and tell mom and dad when I heard that, I'll get the mail this coming week. I'll take care of it. I'll get the mail. And dad would wonder, and I'd stand out there by the mailbox, and I'd pray, even though I knew that it wasn't all A's. I was praying, God, heal my report card. Amen. God, heal it. Maybe the teacher wrote down that letter wrong, and she exchanged it a little bit. All of you remember when Opie did that on Andy Griffith, right? He got a good report card. His daddy was so proud of him. So I've come to find out that it didn't happen that way. I'm praying for an Opie, right? I'm praying, dear God, please change that report card. And I'd get my report card, and I would take it in the house, and I'd do everything that I could to make sure that mom and dad didn't see it for a few days. But always my dad would find it. And my dad would set me down most of the time and look at me. And I don't know if any of the rest of your fathers did this. My dad would always go like this when he was looking at my report card. And the harder he rubbed his forehead, the harder I knew that I was in trouble. And Dad would look at me and he'd say these words, "Son, we need to do better. Son, we need to do better." Now, being the preacher's kid that I was, in my mind, I didn't say this to my daddy, we, I'm the only one that goes to school. I'm the only one that has to study. I'm the only one that has to do any of that work. But my dad would look at me and say, "Son, we need to do better." Can you imagine how many times God says that to us? Amen? God knows your perfection every day, doesn't He? He doesn't have to go into a computer and look and see what your grades are or your attendance are or how you've been on your best behavior at school. God just looks at you. And to God, you are an open book. God knows everything about you. And how many times does God look at us and say, "Son or daughter, we need to do better"? You notice in the scripture I read this morning, it doesn't say that we're going to be perfect, right? Because you've heard me say this many times, we're human and humans make mistakes, don't we? We make mistakes. We're never going to be perfect, even though some people think they are. They're never going to be perfect. There's always going to be something in our life that's contrary to the will of God. Always something. But the Bible says we have to strive for perfection. That doesn't mean it's okay. You're going to say, "Well, the preacher says it's okay for me to not to be perfect so I can act this way or do something the other way. It's okay to be like that." No. I believe we all should strive to be the best person we can be, right? I also believe we need to strive to be the best Christian we can be. To strive to be more like God. Do you remember when your kids were brought into the world? Carrie will get to do this. I think she said around December. When you had those grandkids and they come into the world and people walk up to them and they say, "Oh, she looks just like you. She's got your eyes. She's got your mouth. She's got your hair. She's got that look. She looks just like her mama." Praise be to God on that one, guys, right? Praise be to God on that. I always love that. Our kids sometimes have a reflection of who? Of us. Something about us. The good and the bad. Heather's listening in this morning. I always believe that anything she got bad come from me. Maybe her temper comes from me. Maybe her lack of patience come from me. But it's good when you're able to look at your kids and you're able to say, "You know what? They look just a little bit like me." Well, praise be to God. I want you to know something today, that each and every one of us that are here today, we are a child of God. Amen? We are a child of God. And God had the first breath that He breathed into our lungs, and now we need to take on some of those characteristics of God, don't they? Don't we? People need to be able to look at you and say, "I see a little bit of God in your life. I see how God is working with you in your life." Where we come short in our life is we allow certain things to cause us not to be striving to be for perfection in our life. Things that enter our life that causes us not to be the Christian we should be. We'll look at a few of those things this morning. And what causes us to Christians, I believe sometimes, an old word that we used to use in the church, I believe sometimes we as Christians start backsliding, don't we? What does that mean? We start drifting away from God. First of all, Christians sometimes get upset even aggravated with God. People seem to get angry really fast, don't they, anymore? Just so fast. It doesn't take anyone very long. You can go to Walmart for 10 minutes, and I guarantee you, you're going to see somebody lose their temper, aren't you? You're going to see it out in the parking lot? Go to a basketball game anymore, right? Go to a baseball game. Go to a football game. Go to any sport. And I guarantee you, you're not going to hear anybody up in the stands going, "Great job, referee. You're making every call. It's perfect. You're doing a perfect, perfect game." People lose that temper very fast. Any of the rest of you? None of you are going to raise your hands, but I'm guarantee you some of you are going to get elbows on this. Any of the rest of you ever lose your temper? You ever get upset? You ever say things that you wish you had never said? Amen? I would like somebody to invent this. I'd like somebody to invent a rewind on my words sometimes, right? So it could push it just real quick, take it back, and maybe beep out a few things where people doesn't know what you exactly said. We get very agitated with each other. Sometimes we as Christians get upset with God when things don't go our way, don't we? So many people, the first person they blame when something's not going right in their life, when basically we should be blaming who? Ourselves. We start to blame God. And you hear these type of words. "God, why did you allow that to happen? I didn't think, God, I thought you loved me more than that. Why would you allow that to happen in my life?" And people become angry with God, and the more angry they come to God, the less they are striving for perfection, aren't they? They are drifting away from God. And what starts happening? They don't pray as much. They don't read their Bibles as much. They don't come to church as much. They don't have that time of praying and talking to God and being more like God because they're blaming God for everything that's wrong in their lives. Sometimes when we're striving for perfection, we have to realize something. Write this down somewhere. God knows better than you do. Even when you get agitated with Him, God knows what's best for you more than you ever, ever will. Why? Because I serve a perfect Savior, don't I? A Savior that knows what perfection is all about. So sometimes we as Christians, we get a little agitated with God and we lose our edge on striving for that perfection. Next, Christians sometimes become distracted. We see a lot of distractions out in this world today, don't we? More than ever before. I get so much in trouble with this at home, and I am working so hard on it. Maybe when I have my next birthday, I'll be better, honey. But I'll be sitting there watching TV, and you know, my mind, I guess that's the age I am. I can only concentrate on one thing. Any of the rest of y'all like that? It just like I get centered in on it, and I'm watching the weather, or I'm watching some baseball games on TV, or whatever it may be, and my mind just gets so right on that one track mind. I guess that's what you call it, right? One track mind. And Sheila will start talking to me about something that I know is important. It's so important that it's got to be said when? Right now. And I need to listen to how many of those words? All of them. Because there will be a test. Amen? There will be a test here in just a few minutes. And I'll hear it. But I'm not listening. Why? Because I am distracted watching something on that TV that doesn't matter at all, right? Doesn't matter at all, but I'm centered on that. And every time that happens, I get those famous words. Sheila says it to me. "Honey, are you listening to me?" Do you hear what I'm saying? And what does this good husband say? Oh, yeah, I heard every word, everything that you said. Remember, I told you there is a test. Because right after that, she says, what did I say? What did I say? Folks, we do a lot of that with God, don't we? We get so distracted by things out in the world that doesn't mean anything. Old word that we used to say, a hill of beans, right? Doesn't mean a hill of beans. And we get distracted on this out in the world and that out in the world, and we listen to this and we understand this, and all the preachers saying I'm striving for perfection, but I've got so much. Any of the rest of you ever said these words? I got so much on my mind, right? I'm running here, I'm running there, I'm doing everything, and it seemingly people are more busy today than ever before, aren't they? There's always going to be 24 hours in a day. I don't care how much more you want it to be. But people are jamming more and more and more into those 24 hours. And so often God's talking to us, isn't he? And God is telling us something that's more important than anything else you will see out in this world, isn't he? God is telling you how to live your life. God is saying, this is how I need you to be in your life. I wonder how many times God has looked at me and said, Paul Mills, are you listening to me? Are you listening to what I just said to you? I just gave you some great advice in your life. Do you hear me? And what's so great about God, aren't you glad about this? Should be an amen in a minute. He not only says it once to you, he says it multiple times, doesn't he? And if you don't listen, he will get your attention. He will let you know he is in control. So a lot of times we as Christians get so distracted. I believe today, distracted drivers are bad, aren't they? It scares me to death anymore. The rest of y'all ever pass somebody on the side of the road and they got their head right down to that phone? How do they see? They're down here. They don't see. Amen? They're all over the road, and they're over here, and they're over there. And I look at Sheila, and I go, oh, my goodness, what are they doing? They're distracted drivers. Well, sometimes we're distracted Christians, aren't we? We lose our focus. We lose where God wants us to be. Next, Christians often don't let go of their self-centeredness. You ever known anybody that's selfish before? Well, I believe we're honest. We've all been a little selfish in our life, haven't we? But so many people, instead of doing it God's way, want to do it my way. It's my way or the highway, right? It's my way or the highway. When we know that God is truly what we need to realize that we as Christians, we need to have full faith and trust in me, God. Full faith and trust in God. And believe if God says it, that is how we need to live our lives. God is saying to you, this is what you need to change. This is what's going to help you to be a better Christian. This is what's going to help you to be a better mom, a better dad, a better grandpa, a better grandma, a better husband, a better wife. This is what you need to change in your life. And God gives us the instructions to do those things. Any of the rest of you ever like me? Got owner's manuals for things? We've got a drawer at our house that's got all those in there. And owner's manuals is supposed to be when you need an answer, what do you do? You go to the owner's manual. You go to the owner's manual, you get it out, you look at it, they give you tips, frequently asked questions. That's always a good place, right? Frequently asked questions. And you look at those owner's manuals and you study those, but most of the time you can fix things. The problem I have at my house, and it probably doesn't happen at your house, I try to fix it before I go to the owner's manual. Any of the rest of you like that? You say, I can fix it better. Now, those people that spent years making sure that this particular item is going to work perfect. And it was shipped to me, and it's perfect, and they've worked so hard to make sure it's perfect. I believe I know better than them. And I'm going to fix it like I think I should fix it. Well, maybe the rest of you are smarter than me. Most of the time when I fix it, it starts blowing up, right? The last couple weeks, our washing machine at the house, it started squealing. Y'all ever had a squealing washing machine? I could have sworn that we got a cat that I didn't know anything about, and it got in our washing machine, and it was squealing, and it was carrying on and so forth. And I looked at Sheila, and she knew exactly what I was going to say. I was going to say, honey, you want me to look at it and try to fix it? And she looked at me, and she said, we're going to call somebody. Because she knows by the time I got done working with it, it not only was going to be squealing, it was going to be knocking, and probably steam coming out of every place it was there. I called a guy that knew what he was supposed to do. He came to our house. 30 minutes, it was fixed. Christians, we know a guy that can fix everything, don't we? We know a man that no matter what you're facing in your life, all you have to do is he has the owner's manual of your life. He knows exactly what you need. All you have to do is call upon him and not be centered on yourself, but say those simple words, God, I can't do this by myself. God, I need your help. God, I need you to give me what I need to strive in my life. Christians also, when we're not striving to be like God, we start drifting away from talking to God, don't we? I believe that the key to any relationship is good communication, isn't it? To talk your problems out and to share what's going on in your life. I don't give married couples a whole lot of advice when they're getting married, but one of the things I always try to say to every one of them is, don't go to bed mad at each other. Because we all can agree that things fester, don't they? Fester up in relationships. I believe there's somebody that you need to be talking to all the time. And that's talking to God, isn't it? In your prayers every day, striving to be more like Him. And last this morning, just like we always center on that, I think we need to be striving and making sure that our life is where it needs to be, and we're striving to go to that place called heaven and making that decision in our lives. Praise be to God today. If you've turned your heart and life over to Jesus Christ, you already have your reservation in heaven. Amen? Oh, we need to do that again. Praise be to God today. If you've turned your heart and life over to Jesus Christ, you have your reservation in heaven. Amen? That's great. But I believe between the time you're saved and the time you go to heaven, you need to be striving to be more like Him, don't you? Today, maybe it's the day that you're going to turn your heart and life over to Christ. I'm still leaping for joy about a young lady sitting over here that just turned her heart and life over to Christ. Such a wonderful experience in our church. But, you know, I would say if she wanted to testify this morning, she would tell you it changed things in her life. Today, you can have that change. Today, you can say, Jesus, I need you into my heart and into my life. I want to strive to be a Christian today. And what's so great about God is God doesn't say, well, let's wait a little while. Let's pray about it a little while. Let's check with somebody else and make sure it's okay. I promise you something today beyond a shadow of a doubt. If you ask Jesus Christ into your heart and your life, He is going to save you right at that moment. Today is that chance as we're striving in our life to be more like Christ. Listen to Him. It's a closing song. Show the Lord.